This is Description, episode 52, for April 28th, 2008, with material recorded April 1st. No fool.
I'm not scared to get a mammogram on April Fool's Day.
Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. I felt kind of triumphant saying that. I had both my arms up, like, what the hell was that? Hello, I'm Valerie, and yeah, I'm back in Toronto. In the apartment, and its inherent noises. The refrigerator's going right now. Hello, refrigerator. And the neighbors who play the classical music too loud, they're playing the classical music too loud. But I've since learned that they're not above me. They're not upstairs. They're below me. which is what they can do. Below me. But, so if you happen to hear that music there, that's what it is. So I try to talk about stuff that is specific to Toronto and Canada on this lovely podcast. And one of the things that Canada is possibly best known for, certainly in the United States, is the universal healthcare. And it is an awesome system. We're obviously not the only country in the world that's got this. There are other smart countries. Isn't that nice for me to have acknowledged that? Anyway, but the healthcare system is pretty fucking good here, I gotta say, especially having come from the States. By no means is it perfect. It does not cover everything. I don't think it's really expected to cover everything. For example, it doesn't cover dental, and it doesn't cover prescriptions. Pretty much. But there's kind of a trade-off there in that prescriptions here, okay, this is not like, I am not a scientist, do not quote me on this, I am not an expert, but a lot of prescriptions are cheaper here than they are in the States. In fact, the last time my folks came up, they went, and I went with them actually, they went to a pharmacy at a Zellers in Fort Erie, and running an errand for some friends of theirs back home. They went to high school with them. They're retirees in their 60s, like my folks are. And the wife needs certain kind of eye drops that she can only get in the States with a prescription, which their coverage does not cover. And it is stupid, wicked expensive. So my folks found out that they can get the exact same eye drops here, over the counter, for less than half of what they would have to shell out down there. That's nuts. But, you know, there it is. So there's that. But there's, you know, obviously things that universal healthcare doesn't cover. There are waiting lists and lines for some procedures. There are, you know, rich people who will go, well, fuck your waiting list. I'm going to go get this taken care of in the States where they take my money. So inherently there can be already a kind of a two-tier system. And also the healthcare system here has been kind of under threat recently by people who kind of like this idea of privatized healthcare. So there are definitely some disadvantages to it. All that said, still fucking awesome. And I can only speak in terms of what I have myself experienced personally. I can't make any grand gestures about this, except for, of course, for me to say it's fucking awesome. But, so I can speak only in terms of Ontario. Healthcare is pretty much run by the provinces, okay? So there's a tiny bit of variation from province to province. So I can only talk about Ontario. I got my Ontario health card when shortly after I got my social insurance number, which was shortly after I decided I had to get a job here when I was in university. So I've had the health card since then. And it's one of those deals where you renew it every few years and whatever. And there used to be no photo on it. Now there's photo on it and all kinds of anti-counterfeiting crap and all that stuff. And you get a renewed kind of like your driver's license. And in some places, at the same place, at the same office that you get your driver's license renewed. The last time I got it renewed in February, it was at the same place as like one side of the office is health stuff and the other side of the office is driver stuff. So got that taken care of. And what this basically means is you make an appointment for a doctor for whatever, for your regular doctor. First, you got to find one. Good luck. That's another disadvantage. I don't know if that's specific to the healthcare system, though, but whatever. I told you I wasn't an expert. Go to the doctor. You know, make your appointment. Go to the doctor. You go to the receptionist, and she says, may I have your health card? You present your health card. She makes some notes. You give it back. And you go get taken care of whatever you're getting taken care of, and you don't get a bill for it. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much the deal. With the exceptions of, you know, certain very specific things, or you know, like dental and prescriptions and other stuff I don't know about, everything's pretty well taken care of. Neat, eh? So the sound seeing tour is one of those things that got covered by OHIP. I went recently to get my annual physical, all taken care of, you know, the whole lab thing, the blood test thing, checking my blood, checking my piss, all, you know, no bill for that, all done. But I did have to go get a mammogram, my first one. And that involved this time going to a hospital here in Toronto, first time I've ever done that. Really, I consider myself lucky. Hospitals here are awesome, but I just haven't happened to be in the medical circumstances where I've needed to go to an actual hospital. So this was a first. So I brought the iRiver with me. Neat. So here's the sound seeing tour of me going to St. Michael's Hospital to get my mammogram, which was paid for by the provincial government. Thank you, provincial government.
So here's St. Mike's. We're at Queen and Victoria, and it's very windy today. This is a very spring day we have going here today. It's supposed to be like over 10 degrees. Whoop! It's 3 o'clock. 31. But the wind has blown all that, as it were, out of the water. You can't really have fun on it today because it's freaking windy. And that includes the microphone. So I'm not going to do much talking once I get in here because it's now time for my appointment and I got to get in there. Second set of elevators. That's one set of elevators. Where's the second set of elevators? Oh. Encourage frequent hand washing, so I have a little pump soap thing here. That isn't spitting out any soap. Here we go. Okay, second bank of elevators. Here's the first bank of elevators. So maybe they're more further down once I get past the lobby, that's the counter. Hallway looks like any other hallway here. Oh, there you go. Okay.
Okay.
Hi.
Appointment today?
Yeah, for now.
Okay. house card?
Yep.
Nobody has? Well, they might not be done then. Oh, what are all those?
No, these are the ones inside the box.
Oh.
I think I put one in there.
Oh, okay. Is that one? Yeah. They might have put it in the box themselves because I told them where it was.
No.
No. Okay. All right. This is also a survey we'd like you to complete before you leave today. You can bring it back to us if you're open and done.
Okay.
Okay. And this just kick across the hall to the lady over there. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
To say a couple things. One, I'm waiting for my mammogram now. I'm wearing this weird gown thing that has got three sleeves in it, and it took a while for me to try and understand why there are three sleeves. So I'm like, do I wrap this around here, or do I put the arms in these two or the other two? But then I eventually figured out that you put your arms in two nearest sleeves, and then the one that's hanging you put on back on the first arm again. And that way you're covered, but it's not tied. And there were pictures and diagrams near where we were supposed to put our clothes away, but I kind of missed that. And the thing is, all these gowns are pink, and I did notice in the waiting room that's got CP24 on right now, which is good, but there are two big baskets of knitting that women can do while they're waiting. So that's kind of what I've noticed so far.
Baby,
Colleen Brown and Love You Baby from an album called Foot in Heart. I love that title. I ran across her MySpace page while looking for new people to put on my playlist for that Vancouver radio station thing I was talking about last time. Loved the stuff on there, so I put on the playlist, and it's going on the playlist for the Edmonton station I'm working on. More on that another show. Colleen's from Edmonton, right on. And when I asked her if I could play that song on the show here, I mentioned the PodSafe downloads section of publicbroadcasting.ca, you know, run by Justin, my podcast landlord. And just yesterday, I go over and there she is. Hey presto, three great tracks on publicbroadcasting.ca. So check her out there and you're welcome. For links about Colleen and other things that I talk about on this fine program, go to the blog, descriptiontoronto.com. Now, back to the hospital.
Well, like I said, that was the hard part. So did it go better than it's been? The process itself was okay?
Almost the same like before where I have done.
Oh, still not?
Everybody has the same way, you know. I don't think so. You have to put it right on the right place. And
well, yeah, the choreography is kind of tricky, but she was fine, it wasn't so bad.
She's a nice girl.
Yeah, it was fine. I remember. Yeah, it wasn't so bad. It was just kind of weird.
Because that place was too far for me, you know, Shepherd and the Young.
Oh, were you done before?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I had to...
Was that North York General?
North York General.
Okay, yeah.
It's not hospital. It is a...
Clinic.
Building.
Like an annexy thing.
Yeah.
Whatever the heck that is now.
Yeah, I say it's better when we come to downtown, we do some shopping, and, you know, I like this downtown.
Yeah, make a day of it.
Yeah.
Two different things.
I like the plants, so beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Very nicely.
So, I don't know much about the healthcare system here, but did you have a choice which hospital you could go to for this?
No, no. This company, you know, breast cleaning, they have a few offices, you know. One in St. Michael, one is over there.
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
And one somewhere else, the nurse was saying in Scarborough somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you, where is close to you, when they send you letter, they will let you know if you this location doesn't suit you, you can choose the other one.
Oh, that's cool.
They have, you phone them and you phone here and then let them know where you want. They will let you know the other number.
Oh, okay. Because
where do you live?
Oh well, I live downtown, so this made sense. My but I was assigned. I didn't choose it. My doctor chose it. Because I just, you know,
because
I just had.
The doctor knows where you live. You know, they always choose the close place.
Oh, so that's why she chose it. Okay, because my I live downtown, but my doctor is in Midtown, like Eglinton. So she must have chosen it because...
Mm-hmm. They see your address, you know, which location suit you, you know.
But it doesn't have to do with where I come from. It has to do with your doctor is assigned to a certain hospital. They work in one hospital, and so if you have one doctor, then you have to go to the hospital that they work in. That's how it works where I come from.
No.
Yeah, you can. They send you anywhere you want.
No.
Okay.
Because this is a very popular, you know. This.
Oh yeah, area, yeah.
That's why they.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he offered me to go by them to go to come here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not any other place, you know.
All right. Because they can choose whatever they want. Oh, okay.
Valerie?
Oh, yep.
All set, you can go home.
Oh, great, thank you.
You too.
Great, so that was good. It worked. It took. He just went in. She, Regina's like all open in the back. So she didn't see the diagram either.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
That's Queen. Bye.
Turn in the coffee and tell you all about it. Unless there's anything else here I wanted to... Anything else here I want to look at? No. This part of it is really, really small. This lobby. The Bernie and Mildred Sauron lobby. Which is twice the size of my apartment. That's pretty much it. But you see there is a second cup here. So I'm going to get some coffee and tell you what I just did that... parts of it that you didn't hear. Ta-da!
Hi. Large latte with soy, please.
Okay, so here's the situation. Parents went away on a week's vacation. Anyway, so here's what happened. So, I don't know how much of what I recorded in the waiting room is going to be included here, but basically goes like this. So I changed into that weird three-arm gown thing, pink, and into the waiting room with these other women. And it really only waited for maybe about 15 minutes. And nice young women called me into one of their little rooms and walked up to this contraption. And it seemed like a pretty modern looking contraption. I mean, it was like glass and plastic and, well, transparent plastic to look like glass or something. Because now that I think about it, glass would hurt. Drinking my coffee, by the way. I should back up for a second. First, I went to an initial reception office that's across the hall and presented my form that the doctor gave me, and the girl with the partially red hair and the fuchsia sparkles on her outfit, who's probably about 24, took my form and my health card, my OHIP card, and typed out whatever she was going to type out in her computer, and asked me if my regular doctor, you know, if this was my regular doctor who'd referred me here, and I said, yeah, and this was the first time I'd been at St. Mike's, yes, in which case, you know, I wouldn't have been on file here, and now I am. I'm now on file here for the rest of my life. And so, you know, waited about 5 minutes while she typed in whatever information she was going to establish my file, and said, okay, you can go across the way there. And so, oh, yeah, right, and she gave me a survey. Well, actually, she gave me another document with some kind of a sticker on it, and she gave me a survey to fill out when we were done. Well, okay. So I'll go across the way, and... more nice people in very cramped quarters, and I present the document the girl gave me with the stickery thing, and put my survey in my purse for later, and said, okay, here I am. And they said, okay, and they take my stuff, and they take me to the waiting room, the changing room, and show me basically what I was supposed to do, and then I got confused, and whatever. And so once I got that figured out, I put my clothes in one of these little baskets. I stripped from the waist up. So, just in case you want to make a picture out of that, I don't know. I'm just being complete in the detail here. And and off I went. And went to the waiting room with the knitting and the other women and the CP24 and the TV. And like I said, I really only waited for 15, 20 minutes. Longer than it will probably take for me to explain this process. And, okay, so nice woman takes me in a little room with the big contraption on it.
that glass and whatever I just said. So, so she says we're going to take four pictures. Two from the side and two from the top, I think she said. Two from the top, two from the side. One each side, obviously. And so I had to, well, I didn't really have to. She put my past into this, you know, for want of a better word, vice-type contraption, although it doesn't look much like a vice-type contraption now. And she says, okay, put one arm on this bar and the other arm loose at your side and make sure you're very loose and then turn your head this way and look this way. And she said, yeah. And she kind of laughed and said, sorry, I have to remember so many things to move into position. And what I wanted to say is, this is exactly like getting a headshot. When you have a picture taken, when you have photos taken with a professional photographer, it's almost exactly like this, except for the person completely manipulating and moving around your breast into a vice. At least that hasn't been my experience with photography yet. And but otherwise, exactly the same thing. Lift your chin this way, turn your head this way, move your hips this way, and stick out your butts. And so I get into that, and she manhandles the rest into position in this vice type thing, and then she says it's going to close up for it, but it's only going to be for a few seconds. And so she presses the button, the thing closes down on the breast, but honestly not really super hard, probably half of what would be considered super hard. And and she said, okay, that's the worst it's going to get. And I can't remember which side it was, but on one side of the contraption, on the wall, there are two pictures of sunflowers, fields of sunflowers. And they're positioned there because that's exactly the direction you're supposed to be looking. That's exactly how your head's supposed to be positioned. So she can say, okay, it'll just be a few seconds. You just relax and watch the and look at the pretty flowers. And so I breathe. Of course, she says it's much worse if you don't relax. And I can see how that would be true. So I relax and I look at the pretty flowers, and she says, okay, we're done. And so it took about, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds, 15 seconds. And so that was one side. Did the same thing with the other side. And then came the hard part. It is true that the pictures of the side are more difficult than the ones from the top. And so she turns the contraption basically diagonally. I was wondering how that was going to work. She turns the contraption diagonally, and pretty much the same things happen, but, you know, only you've got to put your other arm over here, and you've got to... And now both your arms have to be relaxed, and my shoulder was hunching over, so she had to position my shoulder the right place. Again, it's like taking a headshot. And, and the vice moves in. And the side does, it does, well, for want of a better word, hurt, but it doesn't really hurt exactly. A little more, whatever the discomfort is, it's a little more from the side than it is from the top. And, you know, when she said, how's the weather like out there? Well, while it's down on my breast, and I'm like, God, I tell you, the wind is, pretty much what I was telling you earlier, but the wind is ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. The temperature is fantastic for spring, but the wind ruins it. And so she was like, oh, yeah, I'd heard those reports in the morning about it raining and not to worry about doing your hair, blah, blah, blah. And I went, okay. So, you know, we chatted. So another 10, 15 seconds done, over the other breast, same thing. I think the last one was actually the shortest amount of time, I think, and done. And so, and that was pretty much it. And she said, okay, back to the waiting room, and we'll let you know when you're okay to change out of your gown. Okay. So, like for any other x-ray, I have a long experience with x-rays in my life of having scoliosis. And in which this process always took way longer, like a matter of hours, drinking the coffee here. So I go back into the waiting room, and as you might have just heard, I don't know. We'll see what I edit. Another wait for about, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. And a nice girl comes out and goes, okay, you're done. There's another thing I should say. When I was changing into the gown, they asked me, did you put on deodorant today? Any perspirant today? And I said, yeah. And she says, well, here, take this. And she gave me a towelette and said, you have to clean it off as you're changing. I went, okay. So there's something I didn't really anticipate, but I guess that's true because, well, I think your imagination can pretty much figure how unpleasant that could be. So remember that, those of you who are going for one of these things, to not bother. I was going to, I had to because I sweat, and I figured I was especially going to sweat under these circumstances, but they're going to have you wipe it off, so you'll live. So, that was it, I think. Went there, told me out. Oh, and I filled out my survey, and everything was very good and excellent, very good and excellent, very good and excellent. Except for there was one where they asked, was the procedure explained to you in detail? And I had good for that because they didn't, but they didn't really have to. I pretty much knew what was going on. And she just kind of explained it, although fairly quickly, just basically what the hell was exactly going to happen. So I had good for that, but everything else is very good and excellent, very good and excellent. And I put the thing in the box, and off I went, and that was it. So there you go. I think I'm, to be honest, a bit, well, I don't know. It's different for every person, right? All sorts of different people with all sorts of different constructions of their anatomy, and so I'm somewhat fortunate in that I have enough to put into the vice. You know, there are some people who have less than me that I can imagine what a process this must be to just kind of get something in there, but I don't have that problem. And nothing is too terribly super ultra sensitive enough that this process would be especially painful. And so for me, it was fine. Oh, one other thing. If you really want detail, one other thing that they do before you, what part of the process was this? Oh, this was right before the pictures were taken. The nice lady who manhandled my breast into the vise. She brought out two tiny little strips that are like the strips that are like Band-Aids, but they don't have the gauze in the middle. Instead, there was a little tiny metal ball in the middle of this sticky Band-Aid-y thing. And she pasted each one of them onto my nipple and said, this is so the machine can has some sort of orientation, basically, so that when you're looking at an x-ray of this big mound of whatever the hell it is, that they can figure out where the nipple is. And so that was fine. Although a little weird when I was waiting in the gown and it obviously shows through, and so you're kind of crossing your arms or whatever. And then when I was changing out of my gown, I almost forgot to take them off. I was like, well, that would have been uncomfortable. So that's the other thing to know. So let me see. I think that's it that I can think of in the wonderful world of mammography. Everybody was very nice. They are doing quite a lot and are very efficient with a very small amount of space. There are a lot of people working in that area, which is probably why everything goes so quickly, but it all went very, quickly. I can't even... the whole... I told you the appointment itself was at 3 o'clock. I came back down here. It was 3:45. Seriously. So... I don't think that could have gone much better. So, as might have already been mentioned, I'm going to, they're going to send me some document, one to me and one to my doctor, that says how this turned out. So we kind of got our fingers crossed on that one. Walking out of the second cup now. Back into the quote-unquote lobby. I really gotta stop coughing. I'm doing that out of nervousness and allergy, but that's really something you shouldn't be doing around here. I also say, some of these wheelchairs are really cool. They're like, I haven't seen them before. I've been to Cleveland Clinic, for heaven's sakes. They got these plasticky. They got these wheelchairs that look like what you use at a very fancy airport to carry your baggage. Which is pretty cool. I also noticed there's a plaque here facing the back. It says St. Michael's Hospital. In appreciation of the dedication and commitment of staff, physicians, and volunteers of St. Michael's Hospital to the health and safety of Ontarians during SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, a pivotal time in the history of healthcare, October 2003. That's right, kids. 2003. Oh, you know another thing I just mentioned, I just noticed about these wheelchairs that are like lined up here is they're like, you need a loony deposit to take them. They're like those shopping carts. So I'm guessing this is not for staff use. You got to do that. So let me get myself situated here. Button up my coat so I can go outside. Honestly, there are like three pumps here for anti-germ hand rinse here, and then there's another table over here. Let me get my coat situated here. Screen clean and go. Self-screen. If you are being admitted or if you self-screen positive, please proceed to the screening desk. Clean. Squirt hands with hand sanitizer. Go. Proceed into hospital. I think that sign that's hanging above the first bank of hand sanitizers is from when they really had to worry about this. Like, really had to worry about this. Attention visitors. Given recent outbreaks of respiratory illness at other facilities, we need your help in taking all possible precautions to protect our patients. If you have a cough, malaise, severe tiredness, or feeling unwell, new or worse than usual, or a fever, or have recently visited a facility with an infectious disease outbreak, please do not visit family and friends in the hospital. Your consideration of the welfare of our patients is very much appreciated. Well, that's really going to stop somebody, this little teeny sign underneath your hand washing. Although it is dated for February of 2005, so I don't know how close we're supposed to keep to that. Okay, buttoned up. And we're about to face one of those newer, modern, gigantic revolving doors that you don't have to push on. Except for the fact that it just stopped. Why did it just stop? Wow, that was weird. Okay, I'm going in there anyway. There seems to be enough space to live in. Oh, excuse me. There you go. There
Thank you. No problem.
So I just picked up a cane that this elderly Indian and or Sri Lankan woman had dropped. Oh, now Indians and or Sri Lankans are now really mad at me for just saying that. And so I picked it up and she was like, she put a hand on each of the cheeks of my face to thank me. That was cool. Plus, now she's got makeup on her hands, but whatever. That's very, that was kind of cool. Anyway, so we're back in the wind, which means the sound really sucks. And that was my experience at St. Mike's. It was short, it was efficient, and it was nice. So thank you, St. Mike's, and the guys at the Breath Center for doing such a great job.
And that'll do it for another episode of Description. By the way, the results are good. I am healthy in that area. Everything came out great. So that, and it was paid for by our fabulous tax dollars in the provincial government. So happy ending all the way around. The blog, descriptiontoronto.com. So check out lots of cool links and the other useless things I have to say in written form. It enriches the podcasting experience, I guess. And I'm on Second Life, I'm on Twitter, and of course, remember my podcast landlord, publicbroadcasting.ca. Go there, learn things, be a happy person. I will leave you with kind of historical sounds, actually, for this city. We've just been through an interesting experience with the TTC union, those lovely people who do the streetcars and subways. They went on strike midnight Saturday morning. We thought there was an agreement. They voted on Friday night. It lost. 65% of the union voted it down. And instead of giving the 48 hours notice that they promised they were going to before they strike, they bailed about 90 minutes after the results came down. Midnight. Poof. No transit. So that fucked over a lot of people. So Sunday, the provincial government, that I've been saying nice things about, they got their shit together and convened down at Queen's Park, down the street from here, and came up with some back-to-work legislation. And so now the strike is over. Everybody's back. Actually, the buses and everybody started running about supper time yesterday. So still, though, because of how the whole thing started, there's a little bit of tension in the city right now, but at least, you know, quote unquote, the trains are running on time. However, Saturday, there was nothing. So I happened to be at college in Spadina on Saturday and got the Eye River going and recorded the sound of no college streetcar and no Spadina streetcar. Thanks again. Take care.